No, a few years ago, my a friend in California called me, and he was wondering, he wanted to know about this this phenomenon that occurred 20 years ago called the Phoenix Lights. And he was really fascinated to know if I had seen them and what I thought about this. You know, they're called UFOs. It was a UFO sighting. And they say thousands of people in Phoenix saw these lights. Many people believe that they were flying saucers or aliens from outer space. In fact, we just celebrated the 20th anniversary of their arrival, and there's a movie coming out on it too. So, but he was wondering, what did I think about? Did I see him? What did I think about them, about UFOs? And I said, well, it's possible that God created other worlds and other Earth-like planets because, you know, I don't think I'm the center of God's universe. The only thing that matters, human beings are not the only thing that matters. So maybe there's other worlds, other dimensions, and all that stuff. And I said, on the other hand, if they're really aliens from outer space and they flew from another planet and they have the technology and the intelligence to fly across our galaxy to visit us, but they want to remain hidden, would they really turn their lights on when they flew over a city? You know, it didn't make any sense to me. I don't think so. They look like an Air Force formation to me. But it got me thinking about, why are people so fascinated with UFOs? Why do they want to believe? He wanted to believe that they were real. Well, it's because of the way God made us. Let's look at, in your sermon outline, I have in your bulletin, if you want to follow along, let's look at Acts 17:26 and how God made us. From one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. God made us, and he made us in such a way that he wants us to seek him and to know him. Because of that, people want to believe in someone or something greater than themselves. Think about it. They want to believe in someone or something greater than themselves. It's built into us. It might be the Big Bang Theory and evolution as the reason for our existence. Maybe it's a man-made religion to give us a reason, a God, an authority. Maybe it's an obsession with an athlete or a movie star, a superstar. You know, we buy their clothes and their perfume because we want to be like them, because we want to know someone greater than us. See, we have a God-sized hole in our soul, and it's empty when we do not know God. And we want to fill that, and God wants to fill it with His love and His presence, but if God does not fill it, we go looking for something else. Some people fill it with alcohol, or addictions, or their pain, and their problems. And so if we look at our first point, our outline, this first truth says, God made us so that we would seek Him. God wants you to seek Him and to know Him. That's why He gave us creation. If you look on the wonder of creation, you see, you're aware of a creator. If you look at the size of the universe, and they say there's billions of planets and stars, and it's like endless. But also, if you look into the depth of your own existence and your DNA and your DNA strand, you see God weaving your DNA. And it just shows us that the heavens declare the glory of God. We wonder about that creator. And then our own conscience tells us what is right and what is wrong. Our own conscience tells us that there is a moral authority. I was talking to an atheist, and he told me he didn't need to believe in God. He didn't need a Bible to tell him what was right and what was wrong. And I said, then why do you even care what's right or wrong? How do you know what's right or wrong? If you don't believe in right and wrong, you should just take what you want from anybody, do what you want, and not worry about anything. So if you meet an atheist who does not believe in moral authority, a supreme moral authority, just take his cell phone and run off. Okay? They'll do what? Stop! You know, that's mine. He goes, how do you know? You know, it's mine. He goes, no, that's not right. Well, yeah, why is it not right? Because we know there's a moral authority. Creation and our conscience points to a higher power, a higher authority, and God wants us to seek Him so that we can know Him and fill that empty hole in our soul. The second thing I want to talk about today is that God wants you to believe in. He doesn't want you just to seek Him and to find Him. He wants you to believe in who He is. Just look at this next slide. In the New Testament, the word believe is mentioned 249 times in its various forms. So guess what, those of you in school, what is the theme of the New Testament? Believe. Believe. Believe in Jesus. Let's look at John 3:14, this passage. I underlined every time the word believe is mentioned. This is our focal passage today. Verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. God wants you to believe in Him. He wants you to believe in His plan and purpose for your life. And in this passage, we see three truths that God wants you to believe. First one is that God loves you. For God so loved the world. God created you as an object of His love. See, God doesn't want a religion. When you see the word religion, religion is man-made. God wants a relationship with you. He wants to know you. He wants you to know Him. He wants to express His love to you. He wants you to express His love back to Him. And that's because we are made in His image and His likeness. Our children, if you have children, our children are made in our image and likeness. That means they look like us. That's why we look like our parents. That's why our siblings, our brothers and sisters, we look alike. You can tell when someone belongs to the same family. One time I was standing at a checkout counter with my brother a few years back, and a young lady looked at us and goes, "Are you guys twins?" And I'm like, "Really? Really?" I'm saying, "You want to just offend me? Just go ahead and just say it again." But my brother, being gracious like he is, he looks at me and goes, "Thank you for the compliment." It's a true story. Trust me, it's a true story. You know, God made us in His image because He wants to love us. You know, why do we have children? You know, why do we have those little stinkers, you know, those little annoying little people that run around and demand everything, change my diaper, burp me, you know, feed me, and then they repeat it, you know, 20 times more during the day. Do we have children because we want to make money? No, we have children because we want to spend as much money as we can. But we have children as objects of our love, for someone to love, because there's nothing like loving our children. God made you. He made you to seek Him because He loves you and He wants to love you and He wants you to love Him. Everything God does is motivated by love. Let me say that again. Everything God does is motivated by love for you. There is no downside. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you. Christ died for me. When Jesus was on the cross and He stretched His arms out and He was nailed to the cross, He says, "I love you this much. This is how much I love you." The second thing that God wants us to believe is that you are a sinner and separated from God. Says all and shall not perish. Those who believe in Jesus Christ shall not perish. The word perish does not just mean total destruction. It means a final destiny, a separation from God from all eternity. That separation becomes permanent when we die. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We don't meet God's standard. We have fallen short. Doesn't mean that we're criminals. It just means that we are not right with God. The separation becomes permanent when we die. There are no second chances. So mankind has a sin problem. Jesus said, "I am the solution." Jesus came and claimed that He was the solution to your sin problem. Now let's look at John 3:14. We already read this passage, but let's read it again. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. Now, Jesus is talking about the snake in the desert. He's talking about this image. Let's go to this image on this slide. Jesus is referring to the time when the people of Israel rebelled against Moses and rebelled against God. You know, they had left Egypt. They're going to the promised land. And they sinned. They rebelled against God. And God's wrath was unleashed in the form of snakes. These poisonous snakes started biting people and they started dying. And Moses, once they start getting bit, they're like, oh, well, you know, God, we're sorry, we're sorry. And Moses interceded for the people. And so God provided a remedy. He told Moses, make a brass serpent, put it on a pole, and lift it up. And everyone who has faith in God and looks on that image will be healed. And they were healed. They did not die from their snake bite. Now, some people believe that this symbol became the medical symbol that we see today. You know, the symbol for medical doctors and stuff like that. And I think it makes a lot of sense. Now, other people, when I did research, say, no, that symbol comes from the Greek gods and Greek mythology. But guess what? Moses preceded the Greek gods and Greek mythology by thousands of years. And so I think it really is an image of the medical symbol is really goes back to Moses. And so if the people had faith in God, if they were sorry for their sins, they would look up at this image and they would be healed. Today, if people want to be healed, they have to look up to Jesus. You know, Jesus was lifted up on a cross. We look to Christ on the cross. We have faith in Him. We believe in Him. And we will be healed and saved from the consequences of sin. See, we have a sin problem. In the United States of America, it's hard to understand that we have a sin problem. We live in a great country. We have everything we need. We're blessed, but we have a sin problem. And once sin gets into our lives, it gets entrenched. We can't get it out. I was reading this story about a man and his daughter. Look at this next picture. This man and his daughter were sitting in this convertible in Germany. And a tractor trailer was making a turn, and it was full of liquid manure. And as it swung and turned next to him, it poured out and filled their Renault convertible while they were sitting in it with liquid manure. It covered them from head to toe. And it says the police looked at the car and they said, we think that's a total write-off. But that's what sin is. We don't see it at first. But when sin fills our lives, we're a total write-off. There's no salvaging what has happened to us. We need a Savior. We need someone who can cleanse our sins, remove the stain of sin. And so the next thing that we see that God wants us to believe is Jesus is the answer. That whoever believes in Him, in Jesus Christ, shall not perish, but have eternal life. So you have to ask yourself, what do you put your confidence in today? What is your confidence in? Not just for today, but tomorrow and into eternity. Look at this picture. Anybody know who this guy is? Jack LaLanne. You know, before you see all these exercise videos today, Larry and I had Jack LaLanne. He was the first exercise. So, you know, nobody's like, who is this guy? He's in black and white. It was really old. He's the first exercise celebrity that ever existed. He did 10 million sit-ups. He probably did 10 million push-ups and chin-ups in his life. You see this one picture. When he was 80 years old, he handcuffed his hands and his feet, tied a boat to his waist, and swam from Alcatraz to San Francisco. He was physically fit. He exercised. That's what he practiced. That's what he preached. And then at age 96, he died. Which proves that exercise will kill you. You know, I'm going to stop exercising because it doesn't end well. No, it proves this, that everyone dies. Everyone dies. No matter how fit, how healthy you are, everyone dies. The whole world has been bitten by sin. The wages of sin is death. So don't put your confidence in something that is temporary, but put your confidence in the one who can give you eternal life. See, the last thing God wants is for you to go to hell. Jesus Christ experienced hell on the cross so you won't have to. Let's look at 1 John 5:11. And this is a testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God's Word is written in such a way to help you believe and that when you believe, that you will absolutely know, for sure, for certain, with no doubt, that you have eternal life because you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. There's no maybe or I hope so. You can believe. And when we believe, it doesn't mean that we won't sin again. It doesn't believe we won't make mistakes again. The point is, you don't have to be perfect to go to heaven because you cannot be perfect. The point is that Jesus Christ is good enough. Jesus Christ is perfect enough. We have to put our faith and believe in Him. Now, the third thing I want to point out is that unbelief is an act of your will. You know, if God is so good, you know, we hear the Bible, we read it, why doesn't everybody just believe? If God has so much blessings in store for us, why doesn't God, everyone just believe? Is it because they have doubt? Because they lack knowledge? Well, you know, doubt is a matter of your mind. Even Christians have moments of doubt. Even I have doubts at times, but doubt can be resolved with the truth, with the knowledge of God's Word, with the truth of God's Word. Doubt is a matter of your mind. Unbelief, on the other hand, is an act of your will. Unbelief is a matter of your will. It's a choice you make. So let's go to John 3:19. This is the verdict. The light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done done through God. See, those that rejected Christ did so because they didn't want to believe in Him. They love the darkness. They were want to be gods of their own life. They want to live their own life. The religious leaders who criticized Jesus, who pushed to have Him crucified and put to death, were full of unbelief. They were full of unbelief because they rejected Jesus because it interfered with the way they wanted to live their lives. See, today, people don't reject Jesus because they have carefully examined the Scripture and found a contradiction, or they don't reject Jesus because they don't think the evidence is compelling enough that Jesus rose from the dead. They reject Jesus because it changes. It interferes with the way they want to live their lives. Is unbelief your choice? That is your choice. We can choose to believe or not. But God wants you to believe in Him. This world, your conscience, His Word, everything is geared to believe in God. But as we see in the Scripture, if you want to believe in God, if you want to know God, we have to step into the light of His Word. We have to step in His presence. And a lot of people don't want to do that because it makes them feel guilty. You know, I don't want to go to church. It'll make me feel bad. It'll make me feel guilty. And that's okay because Jesus wants to cleanse you of that guilt. We have to step into the light. When you choose to live in the light of God's Word, you see clearly that God loves you and He only wants to bless your life. I've been a Christian for 40 plus years. My wife is a Christian. My children are Christians. There is no downside. Okay? Let me just tell you this right now. A lot of people think, well, if I become a Christian, I can't have any more fun. I'll tell you, no one has more fun than me. No one laughs more than me. No one is happier than me. There is no downside. God wants you to believe there is no downside. So the question is, and our second last point is, will you believe in Jesus? You can believe God because He only has pure motives for your life. John 1:12. Yet to all received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. We are born again by the Holy Spirit. When we trust in Christ, the Spirit comes into our life. We are born again. So what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Two things. One, we believe in the name of Jesus. We believe in the name of Jesus, who Jesus says He was. The word believe in the Bible means to consider something trustworthy and worthy, true, something true. Believe means to consider, I'll just read it the way it's written. Believe means to consider something true and worthy of your trust. You act on it. What we believe about Jesus is revealed in 1 Corinthians 15:3. This is the gospel message. What I received, I passed on to you. as a first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to Scriptures. That is what we believe about the name of Jesus, that He came to this world, He lived a sinless life, He died, He was buried, and He rose on the third day. In fact, Jesus made all sorts of outrageous claims about Himself while on earth that we must believe in. Look at these claims. Next slide. I am God. You need to worship me. I am God from heaven in human form. I am going to die and rise from the dead. I am the only way to heaven. Jesus just didn't say these things once. He said them over and over again. A lot of people claim to be God. What's the difference between Jesus' claim and everyone else's claim? Well, Jesus did die and He did rise from the dead. That's exactly what He did. He did what He claimed to be. And so when we believe in who Jesus claims to be, the name of Jesus. See, when you look at these statements, if you see someone who says this, they're either a liar, they're just lying, or they're a lunatic, they're crazy, or maybe Jesus is my Lord. You know, is he a liar, a lunatic, or my Lord? I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord. The second thing about when we believe in Jesus, it means that we receive Him as your Savior and your Lord. Let me ask you this. How many of you are married? Raise your hand. Raise your hand like you're proud to be married. Raise your hand a little higher. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Do you ever wonder if you ever have to walk around and wonder if you're married? Are you unsure at times? Boy, am I married today? And I'm like, well, just go ask your wife. Do you ever wonder? You're unsure? No, why not? Because you made a vow and a commitment to your spouse. You made a vow and a commitment to each other. You know you're married. You know if you're not married. Well, I ask you this. Do you know if you're a Christian? Do you wonder if you are a Christian? Are you unsure if you're a Christian? Whether you either are a Christian or you are not. The reason you are unsure is because you have not made a definitive vow and commitment to Jesus Christ. And I ask you today, have you believed in Jesus? Have you made that commitment to Him? Have you said, Jesus, I do believe in You. I commit my life and my will to Your care and control. See, a lot of times people wander around, I think I'm a Christian, I act like a Christian, I feel like a Christian, but they don't know because they never made that commitment. Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Believe and eternal life. Believe and saved. All these words go together. You know, when people tell me that I've trusted in Christ as my Savior, Lord, I believe in Jesus, the first thing we want them to do, the first thing the Bible teaches is that we want them to be baptized in a baptistry or in the water by water immersion as a testimony, a declaration of their faith in Christ. Trust me, if you make a commitment and a vow and you get baptized, you'll remember that. I still remember my baptism when I was baptized when I was 12. The water was freezing cold, but I remember it. I made a commitment. I made a vow to follow Jesus. Just so you know, this is heated. This is really nice. It's really heated. But see, we have to make a clear choice. We have to make a clear commitment to trust in Christ as our Savior and our Lord. I ask you today, is there a God-sized empty hole in your soul today? Are you missing? You know you're missing something. You're not happy. You don't even know why you're here in this world. You don't know where you're going. All you do every day is get up and go to work and come home. You know, there's more to life than that. God wants to make you rich with His presence, with His power. The answer to all of your problems in life begins when you believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. When you trust in Him, when you believe in Him, He begins to transform your life. He teaches you through His Word and through His Spirit how to be more like Jesus every day. He'll transform your finances. He'll transform your emotions, your thinking, your feeling, your relations. He transforms you as you walk with Him, as you follow Him all the way to heaven. You know, I think an amazing truth is that God believes in you. Do you know that? God believes in each of you. And He believes in you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins and rise from the dead before you have made a single commitment. He made that sacrifice because He believes in you. He wants you to believe in Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. And as we think about what we just talked about, you know, are you ready to believe in Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Don't let your pride keep you out of heaven. Don't let your unbelief be twisted by Satan. Open your heart to Christ and say, yes, Lord Jesus, today I will follow You. Lord Jesus, I'm going to follow You in water baptism. Lord Jesus, I'm going to become like You more and more every day. Father, we just worship You and we thank You for Your love and blessing and grace and how You have only love for us. Your motive is guided by love. Everything You do is for Your glory and our good. And I pray, Father, if there's someone here today who needs to finally resolve the issue of their faith in You, their understanding of You, that they will say, Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I do. I will follow You. We just praise You and thank You for that today. Every day we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we look forward to the time when You come back and take us home to heaven. So we praise You and worship You now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing an invitation song. And I invite you, if you're ready to trust in Christ as your Savior and Lord, come up and let's pray. Maybe you have a question. You need prayer. You need help with something. This is a time to respond to Christ. And I just want to point out to you our response card in the back of your bulletin. If you don't want to come forward, that's okay. Fill it out and put it in the offering envelope or give it to me. And I will contact you during the week if you have questions about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to believe. Let's stand as we sing our invitation song.